We meet together, though we are apart, in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some words from Psalm 65. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. To you that hear prayer shall all flesh come, because of their transgressions. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you will blot them out. Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God, of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth, and of the seas that are far away. Together, let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of the heavens, God of the earth, all creation awaits your gift of new life. Prepare our hearts to receive the word of your Son, that his gospel may grow within us and yield a harvest that is 100-fold. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. In peace and in faith, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. For it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. Welcome with meekness the implanted word that has power to save your souls. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the most recognisable aspects of Jesus' ministry was his vocation as a teacher and preacher. We are told time and time again in the Gospels that people longed to hear what he had to say, how they clamoured for his instruction and actively sought out the wisdom he had to impart. So often when we hear Jesus speaking, it's to crowds that assembled around him, those who were interested, intrigued, and perhaps a little bit confused by what he had to say. Yes, he speaks intimately to his friends, his companions, those close to him. But more often than not, Jesus speaks openly and publicly, speaking of God in a way that was compelling and made those around him want to know more. We discover this in today's Gospel reading, where the evangelist Matthew reminds his readers that so extensive were the crowds that came to hear Jesus that he had not only to go outside of the house where he was staying, but in the end had to get into a boat in order to address his hearers gathered on the shoreline. It's a scene that paints a vivid picture, the assembling of a noisy, excitable group of people who are expecting great things from the one they've come to hear. They are aware, we can presume, that Jesus is someone worth paying attention to, who will reveal deep truths and speak to them openly and clearly in a way that will somehow help them make sense of their lives and its meaning. What follows is not a secret message to a select group of followers. Rather, it's a deliberately universal announcement. The word of the Lord cannot be contained and so reaches out to all people, cajoling them, encouraging them, calling them to open their ears and take notice. All are given the opportunity to receive the message that Jesus brings, to hear for themselves the good news of the kingdom, and so to share in its treasures revealed in lives open to the workings and promptings of God's Spirit. The stories that Jesus shared were all about encouraging those who heard them to discern God's presence close at hand, and so to respond accordingly. Yet as we know, these stories were also intended to challenge and disturb. Speaking in parables was Jesus' way of deliberately seeking to unsettle the comfortable prejudices of his hearers, recognising they would need to be changed by the message they were given. As one biblical commentator remarks, true illumination comes from a parable only after something has changed within us, and we have come to accept the divine viewpoint it reveals. The parables are not a test of human intelligence. Rather, they are verbal strategies of grace that test the willingness of the human heart to surrender to and be enfolded by the surprising generosity of God. It is therefore fitting that the first parable that Jesus shares is one that asks his hearers to consider their response to an awareness of God's unstinting abundance, revealed in the story of a seemingly rather reckless sower who goes out to sow and who doesn't seem to care where the seed ends up. This precious resource doesn't just end up in the good soil of the earth, but is found scattered along the path, the rocky ground, and in the middle of thorns, which ultimately means that it is wasted. Only the seed that falls in ground where it can be nurtured, cultivated, and given the means to grow, ultimately brings forth grain. All the other seed is lost, eaten by the birds, withered by the sun, or unable to grow due to its lack of roots. In speaking as he does, Jesus indicates his knowledge of the farming practices of his day, where the sowing of the seed preceded the preparing of the land, meaning much of the seed would have been wasted in places that would never have been ploughed. Yet despite this, the sower is not restrained, risking the loss of some of the seed in the hope that enough of it falls onto the good ground where it will have chance to grow. At the heart of the parable, then, is an inherent profligacy, an overflowing open-handedness, which is required if the sower's efforts are to result in a bountiful harvest. The parable of the sower reminds us that divine generosity is the ultimate bedrock of the kingdom that Jesus has come to reveal, that God's love and grace is given even when his word is rejected, ignored, and unnoticed. Even in the face of our weakness, brokenness, faithlessness, the sower will keep on scattering the seed, and Christ will, we can be assured, continue to seek out ways to make his home within us, so that we might learn more about what it means not just to live, but to thrive in his company. It is such an understanding that is revealed as Jesus begins to explain the meaning of the story he's just told, where the seed that is scattered so abundantly is in fact the word of the kingdom, which his hearers are invited to receive with gladness and thanksgiving, so as to give it the opportunity to take root and flourish. Nevertheless, as we've discovered, this does not mean that the good news is offered only to a certain group, who believe themselves to be more worthy, deserving, qualified, or capable. Rather, it is given freely for the blessing of all. What matters most, Jesus says, is how we make ourselves ready to receive it, and how then in turn we cultivate the soil of our lives to ensure that in time we will be able to bring forth the fruit of the kingdom. This demands of us a patience and humility, a habit of heart and mind which cannot be rushed or ignored if we are to take seriously Christ's invitation to conversion of life, reframing our priorities and choices in a way that will enable us to love others in his name more joyfully and dutifully. It's perhaps then for this reason that before all the other parables in Matthew's Gospel, we hear the parable of the sower. It doesn't teach us about what we are to do, what we are to think, how we are to behave. Rather, it reminds us of what we first need to receive. Not simply the word of the kingdom, but the living word, Jesus Christ. If our lives are not focused around Christ, and we are not prepared to allow him to be at work within us, then we will not be able to bear fruit. However hard we try, and whatever we might do to justify ourselves before others, we will allow ourselves to be overcome by the pressures of the world, by the temptations around us, and by the voices that lead us to doubt and disbelief, failing to open our ears to what the Lord might be saying to us. That's why, ultimately, our growth in faith is not dependent upon our own resources. Jesus' words an important reminder that only those who recognise in themselves a need for God's grace will be given the means, the freedom, and the opportunity to grow and develop into the people he has called them to be. Just like the seed that fell on the good soil that in the end yielded the harvest. This doesn't happen by accident, chance, or design, but comes only from our willingness to become more readily rooted and grounded in Christ, the one who is generous in all things, who alone can make our lives faithful and fruitful for the sake of his kingdom and the service of others. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray that the word of God shall be fertile in the church and in the world. Give to the church, O Lord, the grace to receive the word of faith in obedience and to bring forth good fruit for the salvation of many. Take away all that hinders the church's witness, so that your people may share in her ministry and work for the harvest that is to come. We pray that we, as individuals, may be strengthened in our ministry and in our call to serve Christ, that we may be fruitful always in his service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Come in mercy, O Lord, to all who are hungry for the word, but are held back by the frustrations and cares of life. Rouse the indifferent and nurture those who are moving slowly but surely towards the kingdom. Bless all of your servants, that we may bring your healing power to the nations. We pray for a world that needs your love and your grace and your peace. We pray for your righteousness and justice to flourish where there is hatred and envy and malice. We commend all places of the world that are suffering at this time, remembering the peoples of the Middle East and especially the Yemen. We pray for all those in our world continuing to suffer as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, particularly in South America and in North America, and in those countries that are not adequately prepared for the challenges it brings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, as we share our lives with others who are close to us, our loved ones and friends and neighbours, help each of us to live as those who have heard and received the word, that we may be bearers of good news and doers of good work. May our communities be blessed abundantly, and may we see your kingdom come through your will being done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are struggling at this time, those who are weary and confused, those who are anxious and afraid, those who are isolated and marginalised. We pray for all whom we carry on our hearts, whom we know to be suffering in body, mind, or spirit. All who cry out in pain and distress. All those who fear you are far from them. Bring them reassurance and contentment, and the blessing of your presence. Surround the frightened with your tenderness. Encourage the weary. Support the downhearted. And bring healing and wholeness to all those who look for your mercy and for your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. And so we remember before you all those whom we have loved, but now see no longer. For the departed, whose harvest has ripened and have been gathered in when new life begins. As we pray for them, and as we pray for all who mourn and who grieve, that they may be given faith and trust in your promises. We pray for grace, that we may follow in the examples of those who have gone before, those who have loved and served you, as we wait for the time when we shall be called to see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a moment of quietness, we bring our own prayers and concerns before the throne of God. We pray all these things in the name of Christ, who brings to us the good seed of the kingdom. And so we gather our prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the words that Jesus himself taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Unto the Lord's mercy and protection we commit you. The peace of God, that peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and in the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you, with those whom you love and those whom you pray for, this day, and always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.